Welcome back to the Unhinged History Podcast with myself, your unhinged host, Tiny Caesar. Today's episode is called The Habsburg Family Wreath because it was less a tree and more a wreath in the fact that they were so inbred that they ended up inbreeding themselves out of existence. I'm going to kind of explain the situationship and then some more notable characters. You know, why is inbreeding bad? So that's what we're doing today. Cheers and yeah. Cue the music. I just want to give a humongous thank you to all the people that are supporting this podcast. Guess what we did, guys? Look at this. We're now surpassed 13,000 subscribers. That's right, 13K on the YouTube where you guys watch my hand gestures. Thank you for that. We've also surpassed 4,500 subscribers on Spotify. Thank you. Thank you for your interactions on there. And also almost 2,000 on Apple Podcasts. I can't thank you all enough for the ratings and reviews and the follows and the, all the above because it helps this, you know what I'm saying? So again, thank you. We're doing this, you know, we're going to keep going. But I would like to firstly read some reviews because this was from Chrissy Galvan and she posted this on Spotify. Thank you for your comment. A stunning nerd baddie with a star. I didn't know I loved ancient history till you started teaching it. One of my favorite details about Joanna La Loca is that she took Philip on a funeral tour. And I put that one in there because today we are going a deep dive into that family. You know what I'm saying? So thank you, Chrissy. You're a beautiful human. The other is from Big Ma 2121. Thank you for the 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and the review. She was one of the first TikTok accounts I found years ago that was fun, informative, and she didn't make me feel guilty for binging videos way past my slumber. Thank you. I, as a part-time insomniac, feel that deeply. Now I need to go learn and listen on all the platforms. Don't judge me if I listen here and go watch the same segment on YouTube. Nay, you will not be judged. You will be celebrated. We're celebrating Big Mike 2121. Thank you. I appreciate the dual fellowship. That brings me absolute peace and joy in my soul. Thank you, guys. Now, next, the sponsor for today's video is Caesar Archivum. May or may not be the founder of it. Also, I don't think I'm like actually, maybe I have, but the Unhinged History Podcast now has like all the social media platforms. So like, if you just want to watch like little clips or share little clips from these things, then the funny bits or like the tongue-in-cheek like weird puns that I make, we clip them down into videos and like put them on TikTok and Instagram and all the other places. So it's just at Unhinged History. But the thingy-ma-bobbies will be in the comments below, wherever you're listening, watching, experiencing. Let's get stuck in, shall we? Let's get stuck into the Habsburgs. So we all know, well, maybe not, that inbreeding is pretty bad, like on every sort of level. But I mean, I guess I'm not one to judge. But look, you know, the Habsburgs, they were European nobility. Hence the dress. I get that it's a bit much, but I was like, we're talking about a noble family that was so pretentious that they wanted to keep their blood blue by interbreeding to the point of extinction. So I feel like it's not too much. I feel like it's quite on par with the subject today. Now, at this point in time, it was called we've got the Holy Roman Empire sort of surrounding this. There was like a bunch of people fighting, and then they didn't really have anyone to sort of like rule in the Germanic area, so they like put these guys in charge. And then anyway, they sort of ended up being like a big deal with big chins.
Please laugh.
So but yeah, like I guess it, I don't know, maybe equivalent to like the modern day Kardashians. Like they were the it people, right? And they ruled from 1506 through to the 1700s, but that can be extended from like pretty much like 1450 through to like 1800s, because that was the Holy Roman Empire time to slay, literally. They slayed a lot of innocent people. But yeah, they had a very signature look, just like the Kardashians' butts, but they had chins. Insert photo of said chins, which was actually just a deformity, which we'll get into. Again, like I said, throw the Game of Thrones inbreeding out of the room. It doesn't have nothing on real history. This is why history is cool, my dudes. Because this shit happened. Like, these are real people. You know, genetic like, imagine a reality TV show with the Habsburgs. They were all mad because they had mental disorders because of the inbreeding. They were genetic problems. They had herpes, epilepsy. Medical historians are still going on and on and on about the Habsburgs. And pretty much they got to a point where the whole Spanish-ass line just died. And the last one died out, like, because of the inbreeding and the crippling issues, they killed themselves out. They died. However, because they were rich and they were nobility, they had money, right? So they had access to the top tier genetic, I don't really know. At the time, the top dog medical people, they had access to all that. Desperate measures were taken. Anyway, then Charles II downfall ended the male line and the season finale ends there in death, blood, murder. So let's get stuck into it. First and foremost, sort of around, I guess, 1500s, the Habsburgs became important. The Roman Empire was like, you got this? And they're like, yeah, we got this. Did they, though? Yeah, they did. They, you know, they thrived for a while. But there was that whole thing about, you know, keeping it in the bloodline. And so cousins married cousins, aunties married nephews, uncles married nieces, mums, and pretty much any pairing you can imagine happened. Now, off the back of the last podcast on DNA with Dr. Southerton, I'm going to just line out why inbreeding is absolutely a terrible idea. And just keep in mind, by the way, that inbreeding, even the ancient Egyptians observed animals and were like, ooh, not good. Right. This is like the most pompous. Essentially, it was just all that pride. You know, the whole keeping it in the family thing. Keep the bloodline pure. It's bullshit. Because genetic defects. One, when relatives get together, they share so much of the same DNA that genetic problems are so heightened. So it's like wearing two left shoes, you know. It's not good. And the problematic DNA sort of like comes to the surface faster. So if there's, you know, again, I probably should have like asked Dr. Southerton how to explain this better, but that's how the Habsburgs got their signature issues, inclusive of their jaws. The second reason inbreeding is terrible is the lack of immunity. Okay. So inbreeding decreases your immune system, and if you're in the same family tree / wreath, you're not branching out, right? So the same like immune issues in the DNA pass down to the next and the next and the next. So like one immune problem, bye-bye. Number three, fertility problems, major, huge fertility issues. Weird that. Close relatives have more difficulty having children or falling pregnant, or in the Habsburgs cases, keeping a pregnancy viable. So there were a lot of miscarriages. That's how they died out eventually, because after Charles II of Spain, he was childless because, you know. Number four is the loss of diversity, which is in fact quite important for all of you that don't understand that diversity is important. It really is. But inbreeding diminishes the diversity, which then puts you know, less genetic adaptability into the mix. Anyway, and then number five is the moral and ethical considerations, because like most cultures, there's a few that still remain, have a taboo around marrying relatives, especially, you know, like siblings, etc., because like the risk, like it's just, it's weird in my mind. But like there was a lot of inter-cousin, like first cousin marriages, you know, which some cultures do still practice, but there's risks involved, you know? So insanity runs deep. Why? Because like not only were there physical issues, there were mental problems that weren't quite understood at the time. But if you go back and watch my villainess episode, I speak about Joanna the Mad. She was one of these gals, right? The one that, you know, slept with her deceased husband. So she was from this mob, right? We gotta have a look at some other key characters. And I'm gonna try to keep it like chronological as much as possible. So we're gonna start with Ferdinand the First. He served from 1558 to 1564. That's right, not very long. So he was born in Hungary in 1526, became the Archduke of Austria in 1521, and he was born into this house of the Habsburgs. In his early life, Ferdinand, you know, was the son of Philip and Joanna, you know, the crazy one, and Philip, the Philip guy that we did in the episode on the villainesses, that one. So this is the kid. During his reign, there were huge wars that broke out, inclusive of the Ottoman Wars, which are pretty significant. The Ottoman Empire, particularly in Hungary, were like, you guys. So, you know, he did what he does best as a royal person and fought back for most of his, I guess, career. Can you even call it that? I don't really know. Now, at this time in history, if you're not aware, the Holy Roman Empire, Catholicism, okay? But on the other side of the boat, we had Protestants who were like, you know what? I ain't that happy about paying Catholic priests money to be relieved of my sins, because like that kind of seems like a scam. So there was this whole like Protestant Reformation that was happening, and then the Protestants and the Catholics killed each other. And then it was sort of like every noble family like switched and changed between alliance with the Holy Roman Empire and the Protestants and this and that. And it was a mess. A lot of people died. It's probably not a funny thing at all. It's really not funny. Yeah, there was religious struggles, to put it mildly. So, he was a Catholic, okay? So he took like a pretty tolerant approach to the Protestant at the time, which is nice of him, I suppose, because a lot of other people and royals at the time, they did not tolerate any whatever. You get the point. But then in 1555, he negotiated peace of Augsburg and allowed the German states to choose between Catholicism and Lutheranism. Big deal. Then there was like reforms. He basically was like, okay, let's like get myself an heir. Let's get a boy in me wife, also cousin. A very, very close family member. They had a son. His name was Maximilian II or something. He died in 1564. But his like efforts to maintain Catholicism in the territories and diplomatic administrative skills were like pretty much his legacy. He was the less insane. I mean, this is the first one. So, you know, the inbreeding was just getting started. Philip of Spain. We're talking about 1621 through to 1665. So he lived a little longer, you know. He was part of one of the most prominent royal families in Europe at this point, and he was married twice, first to Elizabeth of France and then to his niece, Mariana of Austria. He had numerous children, but most of the children didn't survive infancy, and that's the, like, a very, like, on brand thing for the Habsburgs. They would have these children, but because they would have these genetic defects due to, you know, uncles, they didn't survive. The mortality rate of infants at that point in time was pretty high, but in the Habsburg family, it was like times 10. He had a lot of influence, and he was at war for 30 years in the Franco-Spanish Wars, which weren't cute at all. Lots of deaths. And even though in his early years there was like good economic growth, then the economy like plunged as worse than probably what we're going through now. He was very, very close, suspiciously so, to the Count Duke of Olivares. And pretty much anything that this minister said went. They were very close friends. And if I've learned one thing about history, close friends, you know, mixed perspectives, his legacy. He had, you know, a cultural flourishing, military successes, but then like the economic problems. And I mean, 30 years of war ain't good in anyone's book, right? Let's move on to a queen. The queen, Maria Theresa of Austria. She was queen of Hungary and Croatia from 1740 through to 1780. That's 40 years. It's not long. She was literally the only female ruler, technically, like on her by herself in the Habsburg like dominions. And she married Francis I, who was the Holy Roman Emperor, and they had 16 effing children. 16. Talk about working mums. Imagine being the queen, married to the Roman Holy Emperor, and then producing 16 offspring. Huh? I can't even do my laundry. Anyway, she also went to war. There's a theme here, isn't there? And there was a huge European conflict, and her right to the throne was constantly being like pushed against. Wonder why? Well, we don't need to wonder. It's because she was a she. She was a woman. Classic. Many of her children were married into other royal families in Europe, and most notably, her daughter, Marie Antoinette. That's right, the Marie Antoinette, who then went to become the Queen of France, the let them eat cake, and then got guillotined in the French Revolution. She was a devout Catholic. So, like, she was the key figure in the Seven-Year War from 1756 to 7 years later. And it involved most of the great powers at the time. Pretty big deal. She was a big deal. And she suppressed the Protestants, i.e. a lot of them died. Protestantism or Lutheranism or whatever you want to call it at that point. Catholics only. And, you know, internal opposition was kind of like her struggle or whatever, because like people were like, you're a woman, you can't lead, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, she did, I guess, okay. And her policies and procedures, which as a COO girlie, we do appreciate a good policy and procedure, they actually lasted through the Habsburg Empire past her time. So, you know, what happens when you put a woman in charge? Oh, Joanna the Mad. We spoke about her in the villainess episode, but just to like sort of bring her up, she married Philip the Handsome, who was, again, insert photo. The standards back then, maybe not as high, I don't know. He was literally known as Philip the Handsome. He slept around. She went batshit insane. Fair enough. Anyway, go watch the villainess episodes for more on her. But like, her story is like a Greek tragedy, I swear. Last one is Charles II of Spain, the last melon of the Habsburg Empire, because he couldn't have children. Now, there was like this situationship. So amongst all this crap, again, we've been through the genetic issues. We haven't really touched on it. But what happened was this thing that's known as
Mandibles,
okay? Prognathism. Basically, their jaws were so severely, like, deformed that sat out here and they could not bite. I don't even know how they ate. But Charles the V, whatever he was, most of them couldn't close their mouths. It was more prominent in the males than the females, but you can still see it in the women. But the men, like this guy, his whole ass jaw was like out here, and then the rest of his face was like back here. And in this, when he went to Spain, there was like this iconic moment where the Spanish, one of the Spanish nobility yelled out, "Your Majesty, close your mouth. The flies here are insolent." But like he couldn't because of his jaw problems. So his mouth was just always open. And I feel like just looking at photos of him,
yeah, I feel like he'd had bad breath.
Anyway, that's just an ad lib. But again, so at this point, we're getting to the end. We're getting to the very end, like the end of the Habsburg Empire, Charles II of Spain. So he was the last Habsburg ruler. He was nicknamed the Bewitched because Charles II's family was known for the inbreeding, which led to all these issues with the face and the body and whatever. He suffered from a huge amount of health problems. I mean, imagine being like the last leaf on the wreath. This is Charles II, you know, multiple generations of just... Can I say that? And so, yeah, he had the jaw, man. He had the big jaw. And he also had speech difficulties, which, like, obviously, if you can't close your mouth, like, yeah. And something known as Klinefelter syndrome. So he then married first Maria Luisa of Orleans, but then got married to Maria Anna of Neuburg. Both marriages sucked. They were very problematic. And none of the Marias had children. I feel like I've made that point pretty clear. His reign marked the decline and the utter unhinged chaos that ensued: war, economic turmoil, and just general instability in every shape and form. And he lied so heavily on his, like, his peeps, like his ministers and his court, again, because, I don't know, he had like a lot going on. Two failed marriages, can't close his mouth. And yeah, you know, war isn't good. And economic turmoil, that is not good either. And basically, when he died, everyone was like, "See you later, Habsburgs. Bye." And his reign is often seen, or his legacy, if you will, as tragic and emblematic of the dangers of interbreeding royally. Because there's just no such thing as keeping the blood pure. Anyway, I'm not going to rant. I feel like we all probably understand that. So there you have it. There's some figures from the Habsburg family, the Habsburg jaw, the biggest chins in Europe. Anyway, like if they were in modern day, they would be like definitely put on Medicare, which is like Australia's like medical system for like free jaw surgery and like 14 years of braces. That, my babes, is a snapshot of the Habsburg family and their jaw-dropping legacy. If you like this wild ride, this rocky wooden roller coaster that has multiple engineering defect, like and subscribe on every channel you can. Leave a comment. If it's interesting, I'll read it out. Questions, please. And as always, if you are an expert in any of the topics that I talk about and have like corrections or ad-libs or extra bits to put to that you want to add, please comment them, because I have a collection of them and I will do like a recap series where we discuss a lot of these things. So I love feedback. I love being wrong. That means you get to learn something new. And yeah, again, until next time, stay curious and stay unhinged. Woof. Bye. Love yous.